If I'm a fucking wannabe amputee, I would want the sexy nurse to cut off my arm and then dress my wounds and then, give me a blowjob. That makes sense. What?
Everything's against me and it's got me down. If I jumped in the river, I would probably drown. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive. These shabby shoes I'm wearing all the time, they're full of holes and nails. Brother, if I stepped on a worn out dime, I
okay,
bet a
I
nickel I could tell you if it was
Oh,
hell
oh
or
I can
hell.
guarantee that I will come up with money.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Good. George is losing it already.
Yeah, it's giggle fits already. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Who Goes There podcast, episode 20. It's 20.
20.
We made it to 20, which I'm not surprised. This time, I'm actually not surprised that we made it.
I would say that in Spanish, but I'm not sure
I
remember 20? How.
What is it?
That's a coffee
that's,
size.
Yeah.
It's bente.
Bente.
So yeah, we've done 20 episodes, and are we almost at our year anniversary? I can't
in,
quite.
In June we will be.
In June.
It just feels like it's been forever.
Yeah, we're getting there. We're getting there. So as usual, this is Jorge, your lovely co-host.
This is Matt, your even lovelier, sexier, sultry co-host.
You're much more sultry, that's for sure. And
much more salty, too.
And saltier. And we have a super, super special guest again.
Yes. I've been bothering this guest since probably June of last year. we were going to have her on an episode in January, and unfortunately, Mother Nature took a shit all over that, and she got snowed in.
Yeah.
So for the last 3 weeks, I've been bothering. You may know her from the movie Jugface and The Woman. She is a karaoke extraordinaire, and she gave the pit what it wanted. Miss Lauren Ashley Carter.
The pit
won. Hey! Yay! Everybody clap. Everybody in studio. Woo!
Been lack attacked.
Thanks for coming on, Lauren. We honestly wanted to have you on. Quite some time ago, but it's, it happens.
Oh. It does. Well, you know what they say, absence makes a clit boner, so I'm here.
Okay, right on.
Oh,
no, great. I'm really happy to be here, and also, really excited for the movie that we're going to talk about later, because I also did watch Here Comes the Devil.
Oh, yeah, we got to talk about that for a couple of minutes.
Yeah, I know. This is going to end up being, two films, but...
So that was the first movie we were going to do with Lauren, was Here Comes the Devil.
And I have notes on that, as well as the notes that I have on 13 Sins. I have this, so I'll send you guys those later, but I took elaborate notes.
My notes for Here Comes the Devil, the very first words, lesbian scissoring.
Yeah.
And then there was a smiley face right next to it.
Yeah, I think yeah, mine was, oh my, well, here we go.
Yeah, there was no absence of boobs for you.
No,
yeah.
And I actually, in my notes, I used the phrase Mexican sex again several times.
No, that's fabulous. Yeah,
I guess since you brought it up, I wasn't going to bring it up, but hey, all right. What did you think of the movie? What did you think of Here Comes the Devil?
Well, I watched it twice because, quite honestly, because the first time I was so not underwhelmed. That's not the right
drunk.
Word. I was just meh about it, and so I thought that sometimes I just have to make sounds because I'm not articulate. And
that's fine.
So I thought, and I was stoned. Okay, so I had to watch it again because I thought, okay, I must have missed something. So I watched it again, just drunk, without the marijuana. And that's when I wrote my notes. And I, the demon possession movies have always been very tricky for me. I've never, even The Exorcist, I love Ellen Burstyn, and I think that's why I love The Exorcist. But in general, it doesn't really do anything for me. I wasn't raised Catholic, and it just never really hits me. And so every time, except for The Conjuring, big fan, very good demonic possession movie, in my opinion. Also just...
I like that movie.
Yeah.
Matt didn't like that movie.
I poo-poo all over that movie.
Well, you know, we'll have a feces throwing contest later about that, but...
Yeah. We can do that over the new Poltergeist movie, because I'm going to poo-poo all over that.
I will poo-poo all over that as well.
Thank you. Over the internet, high five.
Yeah, but yeah, so there were parts of Here Comes the Devil that... I just rolled my eyes at. I thought, okay, I get it. I wasn't surprised. I wasn't shocked by anything. Yeah. The one great moment I had was the babysitter's confession because of the drama and the tension of her revelation in that moment. And that was probably the best moment for me. But in general, I was like, "Oh God, these Catholics and their demonic."
Yeah. Well, that the babysitter stuff minus the little bit where she goes into the bedroom and the kids are like floating.
Yeah, yeah.
Holy shit! I just about turned off the TV at that point. I was like, "No, they fucking didn't."
I know.
Out of here.
I know. And also just like the father, he killed me. He was killing me the whole time. Like when he was threatening her, I'm like, she's got to weigh as much as he does. And she looks like she packs a better punch. I'm like, when he pushes her down and that bit in the hotel room, I'm like, really? Really?
Yeah, she's a pretty thick Mexican woman, I gotta say.
Yeah, well, not just that, like just like Spanish women in general, you know, like I'm only like an eighth Cuban. And if some guy would touch me like that, like, you know, his head's going to be through the wall. So okay. I like her cowered up in a little corner there. I wasn't so keen on. And her wardrobe, I was very confused.
Yeah, dude, for real. That's no joke. That was bad.
Yeah,
you guys are
like,
making me feel like I shouldn't
like,
have liked
their
this movie.
When they went into the guy's house and that whole moment they had with the, you know, the pedophile, the whole underwear thing, and I thought, oh, okay, this is going somewhere. This is more than just what I thought it was, and then it ended up being what I thought it was, and I was very disappointed.
Well, then I'm glad we didn't review it then, because that would have been really fucking boring.
It seems like at least we all enjoyed this movie a lot more. I liked Here Comes the Devil, but I mean, you put anything in a foreign language to me and show me a bunch of tits and I'm pretty much good, right?
Yeah, I mean, I like titties just as much as the next hot-blooded male, even though I have a vagina.
Them taters.
But yeah, no, I'm all about tits, so, it wasn't enough. It didn't save the movie, unfortunately.
The tits weren't enough.
The tits were not enough. You know? Oh. Piranha 3.
Okay, so what... What are your current projects that you're working on that I know Matt mentioned a couple of them, but hearing them from you would do my heart a lot better because he doesn't know what he's talking about.
Of course. I just finished wrapping a film called Pod with the director Mickey Keating, and he just finished a film called Ritual, which was shot in just a couple of days. So this is a great film. I'm very pleased with it. It's a sci-fi horror film, and nice. It's based around three characters. The time is ambiguous. We definitely purposefully went towards late 70s style with hair and clothes, just only because of our own attraction to it. Mm-hmm. Not with any intent of making the movie in such a fashion, but he's definitely a fan of a House of the Devil.
I was a fan of House of the Devil.
I liked House of the Devil. Mikey didn't like it. Yeah, that was a great... speaking the aesthetic, that movie was amazing.
Correct. That was the biggest part of it, I think, for Mickey. And Mickey is just... He's a young director. He's a huge film fan. I mean, and he... He's a film fan on every level because, you know, he came at me with a laundry list of films, which he does for everyone. And the joke is that Dean Cates has, and Dean plays my older brother in the film, is that, and Brian Morvant, who's a great stunt coordinator and actor as well. And he was just in The Den. So you can see him in that, Brian Morvant.
Cool.
And so the joke was that, you know, you watch these films and you tell Mickey and then he goes, oh yeah, you like that? Well, I have more. So the joke is that he gives you a list of films to watch for the movie, but there's never an end. The list just keeps going. And it's true.
Isn't that the worst?
Find a film that Mickey doesn't know. like, it makes your heart sing in a way that, that you've never experienced before, because you, you feel like you've won the game that cannot be won, which I did one time. But yeah, so he's just, he's a lover of film, and he's also a lover of actresses and of older actresses and of very talented female characters. And so, when I read the script, I get a lot after Potted or after Jugface and The Woman, I get a lot of horror scripts, you know, and,
yeah.
And they're,
I'm sorry, were you going to call it Pothead?
What? No.
It sounded like you were about to say like when I was in Pothead.
Jughead, Pothead. No. But I read this and I was very impressed by the role of Lila, which is the role that I play. And she's a strong female lead, and she's very interesting, and she's also different from the doe-eyed scared girl that I typically play. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
No.
But I was very interested in it, and then upon, you know, talking to him further, I found out that he's a fan of actresses that I love, you know, Ellen Burstyn for one, of course, and Brenda Blethyn, and watched Audrey Rose about 10 times. And so every scene, every shot in Pod is a nod, is an homage, is a point to our favorite shots, our favorite moments in so many different horrors and thrillers and sci-fis and dramas too. So it's really, this movie is going to be very special, especially for the lover of film. Because when you see this, it's not anything that's been stolen. They're specific, very pointed nods to great moments. And that's awesome. And it's a family dynamic. So it's a family drama that turns into a sci-fi horror movie.
Well, and you know, I don't know that you necessarily have to make a point of saying that I guess you were trying to say that it doesn't feel authentic. I think the cool thing about the horror genre is that there is a lot of interplay between, you know, directors and films, that we're allowed to see things that, that are part of other films. And it's totally cool because, you know, it's like you said, it's paying homage to all the films that we all did.
I always say it's okay as long as everyone's in on it, because I've seen a couple films lately where I'm like, oh shit, that's from this movie, that's from this part. But obviously the actors didn't know that.
Oh yeah, like if it's not like a non-lovingly made way, it feels shitty.
That's exactly what I mean. And so the reason that I'm very pleased with how this has turned out is because it was absolutely from a very loving place. Yes.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So when can we expect to see Pod?
Okay, so our big goal is, what I would love to do is, so I went to the Sheffield Horror Festival in England, and it was it was incredible, the Celluloid Screams Festival.
Cool.
And they were really amazing. It was one of my favorite festivals. It was just a horror festival, and everyone, and you know, one of the days, it was 24 hours from Saturday to Sunday, never stopped. Ooh, and they do before every feature, they do a trailer sized short, you know, only about 2 minutes, and then they do a short, and then they present the feature for every film.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah,
well, at least there's an intermission. You have something to do if you don't want to get up and.
Oh yeah,
or you just power through.
Go, there's like the bar and the food is open all the time. It's in this beautiful little theater. And you can come and go as you please. You know, some people would fall asleep because they were trying to make it. I met Frank Henenlotter, which was huge for me because I'm...
That's awesome.
Yeah. They did a basket case. They did basket case 1 and 2 back to back.
Basket case is so good.
Yeah.
We should do basket.
Frankenhooker was coming out on Blu-ray like right after that. So I was pretty stoked.
That's awesome. We could even do basket case with Edmund. I'm sure he'd love... case.
We gotta wait for Edmund again.
I know.
Yeah, so it was pretty special. So I got you know, and I had such a wonderful time and talked with the Robert, who organized the festival and runs the whole thing with his wife. You know, I was just such a big fan, and I told him about my projects, and he said, you know, the next thing you do, just bring it to me, and I'll screen it here. You know, we'll find space for it. And, you know, Mickey hasn't played the festivals yet, and I approached him with it, and he was really excited. So I would love to start there because it's in October, and we're hoping to be finished by September, definitely by October. So I'm hoping that we can screen it at Sheffield because they're just such a lovely group of people, lovely group of fans, very respectful, gotcha. and love horror and in a very wonderful way.
So we're still a bit out as far as, you know, local theaters and video on demand goes. Okay.
We'll start with the festivals and of course, you know, like for distribution, cool. But it'll definitely play at theaters, you know, the art house theaters and things like this. And then of course VOD and people will be able to see it. So I think it's going to be a really special little film.
Which I, you know, speaking of VOD really quickly, I love what horror directors are doing right now where they release the VOD ahead of the theatrical release. That is bar none the coolest thing that's going on in horror right now. We get to watch it and then if like we really like the movie, we go check it out in the theater. That's the shit.
Absolutely. What? I mean, you, like Big Bad Wolves, you know, it won at Sheffield.
Have you seen Big Bad Wolves?
What, me?
Yeah.
Oh, I've seen it three times.
it's on my list. It's an Israeli film, right?
Yes. Yes.
It's on my list of stuff to watch, and I just haven't got to it yet, but I've heard a lot of good things.
It's, yeah, I'm absolutely, I could, it's, quite honestly, I could watch it once a week. I'm not even kidding. I'm really that crazy about it.
Okay.
Maybe you can write a review for
us. I actually don't know anything about this film. What's the deal with it?
Well, Lauren seems to be the expert.
What is this movie?
So, Big Bad Wolves is it's a film. So there's a serial killer pedophile who has been abducting young girls and torturing them and killing them in this community, and they have a suspect. But because they interrogate him illegally, basically, the detective, one of the detectives on the force, gets kicked off of the case until things get under control because it was caught on YouTube, like him interrogating
everything.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, and so they have to kick him off, and they're like, you know, you have, and he goes, no, I know it's this guy, I know it's this guy, and they said, well, you know, maybe you do, maybe you don't, but you know, you've created a really bad look for us, and I have to discipline you so that, you know, people don't get on my case. So, well, the father of the daughter that's most recently been executed knows, because of the YouTube video, knows that they're looking at this suspect.
Okay.
And so he's like, yep, well, they're looking at him, that's him. He's got it in his head, he knows it's this guy. The detective also knows it's this guy. So they both, in their own ways, try to subdue this suspect and question him because the father wants to know where his daughter, where her remains are buried and
Okay. He's
hidden her body. And the detective, you know, just wants to find out information and catch the person. Well, things get a little bit complicated. And the entire time, this has been the first movie that the entire film, I didn't know. Half the time I thought, oh, it's him. And then I thought, oh God, it's not him. And I went back and forth, and until they do let you know, which is a really great thing. You know, they do let you know what's the truth of the matter. But while I was watching it, I had no idea.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and it was just beautifully shot, and it's funny. It's also very funny, and dark in that way. And
I like it.
Yeah, and it's just, you know, it's a special film, and even people that, you know, people that are like, oh, I hate horror movies, they should see it.
I don't want to know those people. Whatever.
It's just a brilliant movie. And whether, you know, whatever genre of film that you like, it's well written. It's beautiful. The performances are amazing. And
awesome.
Like I said, I could watch it once a week.
All right. Well, I'm gonna have to watch it ASAP then, as soon as possible.
Yeah.
Well, and let's talk about one of your other projects real quick, Lauren. You're also producing a short film with one of my personal favorite actors, Mr. Mark Lynn Baker, otherwise known as Coulson Laddie from Perfect Strangers.
Yeah.
I don't know why you didn't get Balky, but I'm cool with Cousin Larry.
Yeah, well, we are going to do a reunion at some point. It was just because this is only we're shooting for a day. It's literally five pages, so we will be doing something with both of them later. But yeah, I met Mark Lynn Baker. We did a play together written by the comedian Lewis Black, and we've done it a couple times. Directed by Joe Grafazzi, who was an incredible actor, still is an incredible actor. He's on Law & Order SVU sometimes still. And the Hudsucker, okay. You know him probably from the Hudsucker Proxy.
Oh, I love that movie so much.
Yeah. What movie?
So, you've not seen the Hudsucker Proxy?
I've not heard of it.
Oh, okay. Let me talk to you about my buddy Matt here.
Okay.
You can name pretty much any popular movie from like about the mid 2000s and backwards, and he probably hasn't seen it if it's not a horror movie.
Okay.
But yeah. It's the Hudsucker Proxy.
You would think that, but ask him if he's watched Indiana Jones.
Stop it.
I saw the first one like 2 months ago or 3 months ago.
Well, good.
Have you seen any of the Star Wars films?
I saw the first one I saw was The Phantom Menace. Attack of the Clones.
You fucking
And then I saw the original three like 3 years ago.
I don't understand.
But he saw them. Yeah.
Eventually.
Because my wife has ridiculed me so much for the shit that I don't watch. I've watched the most stupid, obscure rant. The movie Canine with James Belushi, or whichever one's not dead, and then the dog. I've seen that movie like 200 times.
The worst thing to me is ridiculing someone because I always think that then that makes them hate those movies or the fans. Anything. So I always, if somebody hasn't seen something very, I always say, oh, well, you should see it. Well, why don't you come over and we'll watch it together? Because the last thing I want.
I've tried. It's not for lack of trying.
Oh, okay.
He's just a stubborn mule, this guy.
Okay.
So, damn you to hell, buddy.
So Bereavement is, it's going to be a short film. It's written by a very dear friend of mine, Arthur Shapiro, and it's a dark comedy. Basically, and it's based on a true story of his own cousin who took the basically cremated every animal that they ever had and kept the ashes in these elaborate urns all over the house, including their uncle Herman with the cat Tushy that they put in a very big urn together. This is a story about that. And we're shooting it in New Jersey in a couple of weeks. And it's my first producing venture. I'm very excited.
Ooh, nice.
I know. And I'll also have a small role in it because why not?
Because of course.
I'll be playing, yes, the awkward Mary, who I have dedicated my performance to Jean from Drop Dead Gorgeous of the Furniture Store.
That's the one with Rose McGowan and Drop
Dead. Oh, you're thinking Jawbreaker.
Yeah, I was thinking Jawbreaker.
No, which is an amazing movie. Drop Dead Gorgeous is with Denise Richards and Kirsten Dunst.
Right.
Yes. So, a mockumentary.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, so, you said you're dedicating your performance. I think we need to dedicate our podcast, this specific episode, to we lost a great one.
Yeah, Mr. Dave Brockie, otherwise known as Odorous from Gwar, unfortunately passed away this
weekend.
Son
of a bitch.
The age of 50. There's been no cause of death announced yet, but he was found in his apartment by a bandmate, and he will be missed.
Yeah, he really will be. There's not a lot of people that actually listen to Gwar and enjoy their music, but
those people are missing out.
Yeah, I mean it's fun music. It's not meant to be taken completely seriously, and it's not, you know.
I mean, when else can you go and get showered with blood and cum and piss and be totally okay?
And be
with
totally
it?
Fine with
not
it?
Not anymore. Yes. Not anymore. You know, those days are gone.
They're done.
Now you got to go to some weird adult theater for that.
I mean,
and feel just dirty about it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, except for college, but.
I only made it like 3/4 of the way through college.
Well,
we didn't get to that part then.
Yeah, no, I miss the cum parties.
Bukkake. It wasn't that all of college.
No, see, yeah, I, you'd think, but I was a fucking nerd in college. Well, was and still am, but I was
you,
more.
Dude, you were a drum major. I'm sure you pulled tons of tail.
I think you got the cum part all right. Oh.
Yeah, well, once at least.
It's late in New York right now.
Even a blind squirrel can find it.
It is a little bit late for you. I appreciate you hanging out with us. It's a little bit late for you. But you're on that wino bit right now, so you're totally good, right?
Yeah, no, I'm rocking it. I'm rocking.
Okay, good.
Well, we actually have some exciting news, too.
Do we?
The Who Goes There podcast was recently named the official podcast of a brand new annual horror festival in San Diego called the Fantastic Horror Film Fest. It's taking place in San Diego this Halloween weekend.
Woo!
Hey,
no way.
Lauren, they're looking for shorts and features.
All so right.
We can put you in touch, but if you live in the San Diego area, you should definitely go to their website, fhffsd.org. You can buy weekend passes and sign up to volunteer. They need volunteers, and this is going to be something really cool. We're actually going to be broadcasting live from the after party and the red carpet event.
That's the idea anyway. We'll see. Yeah, we'll see
if that event.
Ooh.
We'll see how inebriated we get.
Are you
going to
get your spray tan on?
I might. I'm pretty pale, so yeah, I need to.
This is Southern California. Like, we're always tan.
Sick.
Except for.
I'm pretty pale by California standards, I think. That's my problem.
You and I both, yeah. Buddy. It's that damn Irish skin.
It's better for you, you know, in the long run.
Yeah, I agree. And it's better for tattoos in general, too, because they don't get all bleached out, so, you know.
True. As a tatted woman, I understand.
There you go.
Oh, wait. So you have tattoos. We haven't seen these in any of the movies.
Oh, yeah. Yes. They're covered. No, yeah. I'm from Ohio. You know, I was a punk kid. Not a lot.
Oh, so you have like a crass tattoo on your butt?
Oh, no, wait. You guys will like this, though. I have a super chunk tattoo.
That's awesome. Well done.
George just got a geek boner over here.
That's rad.
Yeah. It's the Come Pick Me Up album.
That's great.
Yeah.
And where is this located?
It's on my shoulder. Don't get dirty.
I'm just asking. I mean, there was a lot of your upper body exposed and jug-faced, and we saw no tattoo, so.
Yes, yeah.
I was just curious as to if it was like on the hip or
something. Oh, for fuck's sake, Matt.
Oh, yeah, but no, I have a tat on my inner bicep, on my wrist, on my rib. So the makeup artists were awesome. I always say makeup artists that have tattoos are great with you. Makeup artists that don't have tattoos hate you.
Please tell me the one on your inner bicep is a gun.
I wish it were like the gun from Videodrome with the hand coming out.
Oh,
I know. Nice. Like, if I could go back and.
Well, you have another arm.
I do. I know, but I'm done.
She's saving that one for the needle.
No,
tattoo.
I'm so square now. But no, it's my inner bicep. It's a dandelion, and the seeds turn into birds.
Orange is the New Black is coming back in June.
Dandelion, nice.
Oh my god, yeah, I love that shit. Good show.
That's such a good show.
Yeah, it really is.
Did you, well, speaking of shows really quick, before we move on too much faster, did you watch True Detective?
Of course.
What did you think?
You know, hillbillies are creepy, man. And, you know, obviously, I mean, I've been in two incest movies, so I can't rag on them for that.
I'm glad you brought it up, because we were going to say something, but I didn't want,
I was going to ask if there was brother fucking in pod.
No, I guess not.
Or maybe that was the awkward damn, they figured it out.
No, yeah. No, I'm interested to see, you know, I really like the ending and everything, and it took me a while to get into it, quite honestly. But I'm very interested to see what they do with the next season. I know that it's kind of going to be like American Horror Story, where it's...
That's the idea, where it's completely new characters and completely new storyline and everything.
Which I'm kind of worried about, but...
Really?
Yeah, I just don't know how much, you know, to keep... Fans have ADD, and we just got to know these characters, and finally at the end, I felt like I finally knew where they were coming from, and it ended. It was like a short story, you know, kind of in the best way that it ends too soon, or an Otis Redding song.
Yeah.
Do you feel like the anthology worked for American Horror Story? Because they actually just announced what the fourth season's going to be.
Well, that was kind of my take on it, because I know that there's been... I haven't really stayed in touch with American Horror Story because of that. And so, but that's me, and you know, and I know some people have, so I'm, you know, but I'm going to try. There's just so much content. There's so many TV shows. I'm still catching up on Deadwood. Like,
oh, Deadwood.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, poor Deadwood. God damn it.
As long as you don't catch up on Dexter, because that was a giant steamy.
You're too fucking bad. I watched the whole goddamn thing.
Yeah, it sucks.
I wish somebody would have told me after season four, hey, it's just going to go downhill.
Yeah, just stop now.
I know.
That last Dexter season.
And at least we still have Nurse Jackie, you know, maybe.
Game of Thrones.
Oh.
We'll see. And I can always watch The Wire over and over.
I still have never seen
Dude,
The Wire.
What
is wrong with this kid? Why is he here?
I'm telling you. I'm sorry. Why is he here? I ask myself that every single day.
That actually reminds me. I took your advice and I watched Red State.
What'd you think?
I don't see why it's considered a horror movie.
The
only thing that's horrific is that people in power have that much power, and that people that are religious are that stupid.
No, dude, I wouldn't necessarily call it a straight up horror film, but it's got some horrific, you know, some horror elements, and it's well directed and it's well acted.
It wasn't a bad movie at all. I don't know that I would like throw it in the horror pile.
Okay,
it was all right though.
Okay, well then, great story, dude.
I watched it. Just saying, you told me to watch it.
God, Jesus. I gotta ask you, did you hear about the brain beer, Lauren?
Brain beer?
Yes. So there is a let me pull up my handy dandy.
Like the Salton Sea with Vincent D'Onofrio.
No, get this. There is a brewery in Pennsylvania. Philadelphia, sorry. Called
same thing.
I don't know what the fucking...
Dock Street.
Anyways. So they called the beer Dock Street Walker. And I'll read you the description from the very top so you can kind of like ease into it a little bit.
Okay.
Dock Street Walker is an American pale stout brewed with substantial amounts of malted wheat, oats, flaked barley for a smooth, creamy mouthfeel. Fuggle hops provide blah, 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 blah. The pre-sparge brain edition provides the beer with intriguing, subtle smoke notes. So I don't know if you know much about beer making, but sparging is basically the pre-boiling part.
Okay.
They're adding goat brains to the beer.
Rose, you forgot to mention there's cranberries in there.
Well,
too,
cranberries is whatever, but
maybe it really complements the brain. You know, you gotta throw
roasted
that in there.
And smoked. Goat brains that are going in this beer.
I would never imagine that brain would even have a taste.
Well, here's the thing I haven't told George yet. They're sending us some samples to try on the air. I actually went to the market by my house today and ordered goat brain. I'm going to roast up goat brain for when we try that.
Oh, nice.
I mean, if you put sriracha on anything, it's going to taste good. But I just wonder with a little butter. Everything. I feel like you're gonna have to do salt and sea with it and just put it in your eggs.
I don't know. Yeah, so I'm kind of a finicky eater, so the idea of goat brains in my beer kind of freaks me out a little bit. But I'm gonna take one for the team.
I'd do it totally.
Hell yeah! Who doesn't love a little brain?
I mean, you could say it's goat penis if it's a beer and it's on draft and it's cold. I'm gonna drink it.
Yeah, but I think calling something goat cock beer just
that wouldn't go. Yeah, that wouldn't go as well. Yeah.
It depends on the bar.
You need the subtle. Yeah, well, yeah, that's true.
West Hollywood,
Tennessee, or wherever Jug Face was filmed.
Okay.
Tennessee, goat dick shine.
Oh, nice.
It's actually three penis wine.
Oh. Okay.
Three penis wine.
The word penis, it just sounds too academic. I need like...
Yeah, it's penis. Yeah. Phallus.
I thought it
three phallus wine. Three I like penis that. Wine. I like that.
Three phallus wine?
Yeah, it's Greek, right?
It's Greek.
I like Greek.
Okay. Guys, I'm going to have to reel you in a little bit. Moving the fuck on.
Wait, we had an agenda on this show tonight?
Just kidding. No, but I think we should really get to talking about our movie before Lauren gets fucking tired of us.
No, I'm just going to get, you know, irrational and I'm going to start talking about Sleepaway Camp, and that's not even on the agenda.
We've been trying to plan a Sleepaway Camp episode for a while now.
Well, you know I'm going to have to be there.
Okay.
Lauren, are you going to reveal you have a penis? Because I'm all for that.
and crickets, buddy. That's how well your joke
is. At least I didn't hear the click.
They're very similar.
You're the fucking worst, officially.
I do what I can. So, the movie we watched this week was...
like a brick through a window, buddy.
Yep. Whatever, man. Some of us are high.
Okay.
I'm insinuating it's Lauren. Anyways, the movie we watched was 13 Sins. Also 13 what?
Sins.
It's also known as Angry Little God and 13 Game of Death. It's a remake of a 2000...
I get, but not Angry Game of God?
Game of Death or Angry Little God.
Those are both terrible titles.
Well, it was a 2006 Thai horror movie. And it's actually a remake. I didn't know it was a
remake. Oh, but yeah, Bloomers did it.
I officially hate it now.
You know what else the film was called? 13 Beloved.
Really?
Beloved, my favorite word.
Now, if it would have been called 13 Phallus.
13 Phallusi?
13 Phallus Wine.
13 Phallus Wine. I would have been all about it. So should we start...
You start wherever you want. You can start from go for it.
So when Lauren was taking her notes, she turned this movie into a drinking game.
Really?
And I read through her notes, and it was awesome because after every point, it would say "drink" with a real in all caps, and you're supposed to drink anytime Ron Perlman gets annoyed. Somebody points out what a pussy loser our main character is.
Aw, poor guy.
Anytime his special brother is on the screen.
His special brother.
And there was other stuff, but I was trying to do it while I was watching the movie again today, and I wound up falling asleep during the movie because I got so buzzed within like 15 minutes.
Yeah. By 15 minutes, yeah, you should definitely.
Okay, well, let's do a quick synopsizing of the movie.
Okay, so the movie is it's a salesman who gets fired from his job down.
Tell
on
them
his...
what he sells though, because that's a big plot point.
What does he sell?
It's insurance.
Yes,
right?
Health.
Oh,
insurance.
Okay. They just said like the gold plan.
They fired him because he. Yeah, I took notes, people. They fired him because
at least you did.
He didn't. He offered this old woman the plan that was most affordable to her and that would cover all of her needs. And his boss, who apparently works for Goldman Sachs, I mean, he seemed to have a lot more power than someone should working at like this small health plan agency.
Yeah,
But he fired him because he was like, you know, you didn't offer her like the biggest plan and get the most money out of her. And he said, well, I was trying to do the right thing. And then, you know, and his whole reason about how it's devastating that he loses his job is because he's got this special brother who is, he's only paying $1,200 a month for his brother to have permanent care.
That's great.
That's insane. Yeah. It should be $12,000 a month. I'm like, I guess that's why he's pissed that he lost his job.
He's not like hooked up to a respirator and, you know, being kept alive by life support. He probably just needs some pills and a pad on the head or something.
He's getting you know, constant care. I mean, maybe he's a diaper. We don't know.
Maybe. Well, my favorite part, but even we sort of skipped the intro, which is. It's neither here nor there. But
I'm sorry.
Well, so,
that's fine. No. We don't need to talk about it.
Well, so the basis of the movie is this guy is really down on his luck, has a lot of responsibility, owes a lot of money. He gets a phone call offering him large amounts of money for doing random things that get increasingly more vile and difficult. And that's essentially the
movie. That's basically it. Yeah, that's all you really need to know about the movie.
Right.
And
it's not going to like send you for loops with the plot twists and anything like that. It's you know, not reinventing the wheel here.
No. It's very standard. And also at the same time that there are many people who are getting this offer. So it almost, that's why like I got the Purge feeling that it's a society thing because it's not just him. Like there are other people that are going through this.
Yeah, and it definitely has you get the hint that I don't know, like three quarters of the movie through, where it's sort of like the one percenters that are you know, doing the tests and whatnot, and they're providing the money and the backing and all the spine work for the 13 sins.
Right.
So, like you were saying a second ago, that the beginning scene is probably one of the best scenes.
So my first note, my little review was, yes to this entire beginning. Can he speak at my wedding?
Totally.
Yeah.
Now, one of the things that I didn't understand is, presumably, the offer is given to somebody who's a little bit downtrodden. That's correct. That's sort of the idea.
I'd say more than a little bit. Because this guy was like 90 grand in debt, plus he had a kid and a marriage on the
line. My question is to you guys is, why was this guy who was presumably given an award for doing whatever, why do we think he was down on his luck? Like, why?
Oh, God, honey. I mean, anybody, you know, just because you've got a suit and a tie, he probably put his money in Bitcoin, you know?
Hookers, gambling.
Well, depending on what time he got into Bitcoin, he could be a billionaire.
Well, no, but he could have five ex-wives.
You're right.
To all of them, or he had sex with a 12-year-old or something. Who knows?
Yeah. He has to pay restitution.
Absolutely.
For that 12-year-old fucker.
Therapy bills.
Oh, God, this got dark real fast. I'm sorry.
Child support.
Lauren, this is just the beginning. we're going to spiral down real quick.
I told you we were going to get weird.
None of us condone 12-year-old fucking, and that's why.
Yeah, yeah. The Who Goes There podcast, not including Lauren, does not condone 12-year-old fucking. I don't know about Lauren herself, but I don't personally.
This is why he you know, bites the dust.
Okay, so we think that he's a 12-year-old fucker. Okay, then I'm on board then. Yeah, I'm 100% on.
I was going to go simple and say he likes the ponies.
The 12-year-old ponies.
The 12-year-old ponies.
Oh, Jesus. Sure, it's
sorry, 12-year-old,
the 12-year-old bronies.
Lord.
This just went completely off the rails.
You've outdone even us, Lauren.
And we're only on the intro. We're really on the intro.
No, the intro was really cool.
It was epic. I mean, he says twat.
that's one of my favorite words.
Excellent.
I can't argue with twat.
Hold on one second. I got to say something. So when I was like 5 years old, I swear I heard the word twat in a Transformers cartoon. I swear one of the guys got blasted and he goes, ow, my twat. Because I asked my mom what a twat was and she whooped my ass. But I told her I heard it on the fucking Transformer cartoon, man. Like, where else would I have heard twat?
You're blaming Transformers now.
Yes. Transformers ruined my childhood.
Well,
and then Michael Bay re-ruined my
there.
Wait, what was that?
I said I believe him. I bet they did sneak that in there. Mm-hmm.
look what happens when you... Look what happens when you go back and watch old Nickelodeon cartoons and Disney cartoons, and Disney's supposed to be the happiest place.
Well, Rocco's Modern Life had that Spanking the Monkey board game, which was incredible.
When Rocco worked at a sex
line. And Spew. I mean,
what was that?
Wait, what was that?
Yeah, that's Rocco's Modern Life. Wretch, Hurl, and Spew.
Oh, yeah. Well, and also, supposedly, Rocco is like a sex phone, phone sex operator. Like, that's his job.
Yeah, right.
I don't know if it was all the time, but he definitely at one point worked for a sex line. There was a sign on the wall that said, like, be hot and be something else. But it was totally, because he was on the phone going, oh, baby, oh, baby, oh, baby.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, unless he's trying to lull a baby to sleep, I think it's pretty clear it's a sex line. Maybe not when you're 14.
But or maybe he's not. Being catfish, you know. I like to sympathize with Rocco.
Rocco was such a great cartoon.
Can
we all just have a... Rocco's Modern
Life.
Rocco's Modern Life. Okay. There you go.
And
that part right there might be edited out, but probably not.
All right, so moving on.
look who's keeping it on the rails.
Yeah, that's her plan, is to derail it and then keep it back on the rails so it makes us look unprofessional.
We look like assholes.
Yeah, well, we do that ourselves.
Yeah.
But
okay, yeah, moving on, Lauren. Thank you.
So 12-year-old pony fucker dies.
He doesn't die. He gets fucked up.
I'm assuming he dies.
But the moment where he's just like, I'm sorry, and just like cuts off that bitch's fingers was
so good. That was incredible. He cuts off her finger. And you're just like, oh shit, that's what's happening.
Well, because he says, I'm sorry, and she's looking at him like he's having a senior moment.
Right.
She's like, here's my hand, honey, for support. And he goes, ha ha, and just cuts it off.
Now, where in his 13 sins do you think he was at that point? That seems pretty early on.
I think, judging by
amputation, I feel like that's a theme.
Okay, so that would put it at, I have this right here.
Oh, wow, you wrote down the...
Well, that was eight. That was eight.
Ah, okay.
See, for me, that seems like it would be earlier, because I would assume that the bad jokes he was telling were one of the simple ones, so I'd probably put it about 4 or 5, maybe.
So he was knocking out a bunch of them in a row.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but you know what was fascinating, because, well, I'm jumping ahead of myself, so...
Go for it.
Well,
do it.
Is that, well, so our hero / loser is... how I referred to him in my notes, or loser / hero. You know, he amputates, and then he has the wedding speech where he pisses on flowers. So I'm like, so amputating is way down here, but pissing on flowers,
not a big deal.
The idea of the 13 sins escalating, it never really, they were all kind of garbled together.
Well, I mean, if you're talking about, it starts off pretty simple. He has to kill a fly, then eat it.
Yeah, can we talk about the eating the fly? So he says, you know, kill the fly and you get $1,000. And it goes directly into his checking account, which he gets alerted on his flip phone.
Yeah, on his fucking badass flip phone, by the way.
That's 4G on a flip phone.
Yeah, that was an instant notification.
I updates that quickly on my iPhone. Wait.
And so was that his phone, or did his brother leave that phone in the car, or did mysteriously wind up in his car?
No, that was his phone.
We don't know.
Well, we don't know. It's his phone.
Okay, so sure. Yeah, the phone was just on his seat.
Well, right. So, I mean, you wanted to talk about the fly eating.
Right. So $1,000, you kill the fly. Then he's like, what, $3,000 if you eat it? And he waits, and I'm like, I'm sorry, you saw the $1,000, you know? And then, anyway, so he waits, and it's a little fly, okay? I could take a little speck of dust, and I wouldn't chew it as long. He chews it for, like, you know, he's like, there's this, like, new movement in eating called chewdyism, that they count their chews.
Is this for real?
It's supposed to be to, like, yes, it is. You can look it up. It's called chewdyism.
Is this a New York thing?
No. But
that sounds very New York.
It sounds very New York. I'm sorry.
Chews in New York. Yeah, challah.
L'chaim.
Yes, l'chaim to you. So, no. But anyway, so he chews the shit out of this fly. And I'm like, okay, you could have just put it under your tongue and swallowed it with some water. You know, it was a little bit OD.
When he waited, like, it seemed like hours to eat
that fly. It really did. I agree. It seemed like way too long. It was like, yeah, it was about 10 minutes before.
I've eaten live June bugs for free.
Correct.
So if you're going to offer me like $3,652 or whatever random number she owed on her credit card, I would have already had that thing eaten as soon as you said we'll pay you.
Yeah, it wouldn't have required me to give me an amount. I would have downed it in the car.
Yeah. Oh, and so now I'm looking back over my notes. So we have to say Tara from True Blood is his
totally wife. And looking really good.
Yeah, it took me a minute to recognize her. I was like, damn, who's this girl? Like, she looks familiar.
She is with child. Yes.
I stopped watching True Blood like 4 years ago once I realized that redhead girl wasn't going to get naked.
Well, you know, I know. She's married to a blind man, so I feel like, you know, if he can't get the benefits, no one else should.
In for real life?
Yeah, in for real life, she's married to a blind man.
For real reals and not for fake.
He has no idea what he's missing. I have no idea what I'm missing.
Yeah. No. Tara is looking good in this movie. I don't know.
And it's a shotgun wedding, can we say?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she's pregnant.
Shotgun wedding.
So, yeah, so all of these things combined, like, make him, you know, a perfect target for this 13 sins trial.
And I have to say, so because I put in my quote, so I wrote down just a few lines when I was watching that really came out to me. So in between this whole fly eating business, we've got the line that his boss fired him with basically was, the same things that make you a lousy salesman are going to make you a fucked up person.
Oh. Wait, does he say person
he
or
says
dad?
Father, I think.
He says dad.
He says dad.
Says he's going to be a fucked up father. I'm like,
what a dick.
My feelings about him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and then that when he tells him, he goes, go ahead and tell me to go to hell. And it's like, fuck, tell him to go to hell. Come on, yeah. You fucking pussy.
He should have just uppercut him right
there. Jesus.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then get with it.
Well, and then the special brother, I want to take a minute and talk about his special
brother. Oh, you mean Dawai too?
Oh, and Dawai wannabe.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he wasn't.
Yeah, he was a low rent Dawai.
He wasn't as intelligent face as Dawai.
Yeah, I'm like, what does he have? And I was like, oh, he has Rain Man. Because
he's got the Rain Man disease.
He's got the Rain Man. Yeah. And then the glasses. I said, were the Dahmer glasses necessary? I mean, he had a really nice coat on. He had a great haircut. He shaved. Yeah. And I thought, like, would he pick out those glasses? Who picked out those glasses? They were Dahmer glasses. And why did he have
Well, that's part. It's because his health care is so cheap. He only gets $30 glasses. I mean, it's $1,200 a month. Come on.
But those are big lenses. I mean,
he needs to see a very big scope of things.
He needs to see how good that jacket looks.
Yeah,
it was a nice. It's not necessary to have those glasses. You know,
they were very 12-year-old rapey glasses.
Exactly. 12-year-old pony rape.
oh, God.
So another quote before even the fly thing happens, because he carries the fly home after this whole incident. So he's got the $1,000 and he's been told he's going to get $3,000 to swallow it. So he comes home to his father's house, the racist, crippled father. I was like, oh, it's Frasier's dad. and his dad says to him, my bowels are finally moving. Let me savor these last little victories. That's what you drink. So.
Oh, is that one of them?
Okay. Oh, that was the other thing. We'll take one right now. When the dad says something racist and...
My bowels are finally moving. Let me savor these last little victories.
Cheers.
Cheers.
So, well...
And then the fly comes.
The fly comes and he's got to do the whole eating it bit. I sort of want to skip ahead to when it kind of.
So wait, I want to ask you guys real quick. How far could you have gone on the list?
On his list. Fuck.
I could have gone all the way to 11. I could have done 11, I think.
What was 11?
Where he surrenders to the.
I don't think I could have got to the amputation part.
I think I could have.
I would have bitched out on the amputation part.
I would have, if I would have done the amputation, I would have passed out because I have a thing about seeing real blood and I will hit the ground immediately.
I'm a little freaked out by real blood, but I think for,
the sawing, I may have turned on the saw.
For $100,000 with a guy that says, yes, I want my arm cut off, you're not going to...
No, dude, there's no way. I would have turned on the saw, maybe hit a little bit of skin and been like, nope, I'm done.
Well, but then at that point, you're already doing it. Why stop then?
Yeah, no, I mean, I could have done it, but I definitely would have hit the ground. And I...
Right after, where you're like, nah, and dead.
Yeah, you would have. It's just
you would have hit the ground $100,000 richer.
And why did he wear the face guard? Because the blood was all over his face anyway.
And not only that, but why the fuck? What was it part of the? Was it part of the sin to take that guy to the hospital?
I don't think so.
Why the fuck did he take him to the hospital?
Because I was like, this. Okay, so he wanted his arm amputated, and obviously, so and people do that, right? That's a thing. It's been on Nip Tuck. It's been on.
Yeah, the body dysmorphia.
Yeah. But if you want that done, you don't want to die. You just want to be an amputee. And so my whole thing, he didn't have that planned. This wasn't written in a contract.
Yeah, and they had that super sexy nurse. She could have dressed the wound.
Right.
Yeah, she was just there to apparently...
That would have been my... And he was like, oh, this is my fantasy. And that made sense to me. It would have been my fantasy. Okay, if I'm a fucking weirdo amputee, a wannabe amputee, I would want the sexy nurse to cut off my arm and then dress my wounds and then, you know, give me a blowjob. That makes sense. What happened in this movie did...
I would have opted for blowjob first.
Yeah.
And then...
Because then I wouldn't give a fuck what you cut off.
Yeah, no. Because you've lost all that blood. There's no way you're getting a boner.
Yeah. At least most of the blood is south of the waist at that point.
Think about that.
I think about this kind of thing.
So. See, but what was the nurse even there for? Because she gave a local anesthetic of all things. And then she's just like, I'm fucking done.
It was for funnies, obviously. She's like, I gave him a local anesthetic.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Oof.
Lauren, you should be our new third co-host. You have to talk like that all the time.
Oh, God, that would be so obnoxious, dude. And we've reviewed this movie.
And also, did I write this down correctly? The whole when he just randomly, the phone man, should we call him, I always think of the tall man from Phantasm. Should we call him the phone man?
The phone man. Can.
The phone man.
Was I right that he said, "Say I will dance with the toad"?
The golden toad.
The golden toad.
Yes, he said. Look, so early on when he first, after he's eaten the fly, he's talking to the guy and he kind of explains like, "Yeah, this is a game. Like, press one to say you're into it." And so he presses one. He's like, "Congratulations, you're enrolled in the game. Now look forward and say, I will dance with the golden toad." And for some reason, he looks out his window and then says, I will dance with the golden toad.
Okay.
So dumb.
And it never comes back again.
Well, no, but they sort of do, because you see, and the weird thing is you don't see toads, you see frogs.
Wait, when?
They sprinkle it in there. There was a store that had like a frog in the window. And then there was a little bit late. You don't pay attention to this stuff, man.
I'm the one that takes pages of notes and I don't pay attention?
My brain is notes, buddy.
All right. So now the next part we've got to talk about is my favorite, because it was so ludicrous how he completed this task, was the, for $5,000, make a child cry. You have 5 minutes. And I was so excited because I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to see how like Shirley Temple's mother did it. How are they going to make this child cry?
You know, I actually misheard that scene. I thought that he was supposed to make his fiance cry. So when he started talking to her, I'm like, oh shit, this is going to get for real good right now.
And then that was another one of the ways to drink is whenever Tara has one of those bitch, I'm going to fuck you up looks on her face.
Well, the whole movie, she had that face on her face. Come on.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I know. And so you guys were like, yeah, exactly. Well, that's
I don't think she has an off switch for that face.
You know,
no,
I have to call her.
She just has I have that. To call what her, do they call it? The bitch, I'm gonna fuck you up face.
Yeah. Yep. The resting bitch face. Yeah, totally.
I did not say rest. No, because it's not resting bitch. It's resting. I'm gonna fucking, you know, tear your heart out through your stomach, the woman style.
Oh.
Ooh, Pollyanna McIntosh. I totally plugged my own movie, and yep, I'm not ashamed.
Shameless self-promotion.
Mm-hmm. But now my whole thing was, so he did this by telling this child that, first of all, she's going to be an orphanage is going to pick her up, and that her parents will love her. And then the child, being very smart and knowing, no, my parents love me, like,
they love me totally. Art,
they have lots of money. They spoil the shit out of me. Like, no, you don't know what you're talking about. My parents love me. And he, like, went into it with her, like, as if it were, you know, a discussion. And to me, I'm like, couldn't you have just said, you know, Santa Claus doesn't exist?
But see, that's not a big enough risk, because what if she already knows that Santa Claus doesn't exist?
Well,
her parents are very bohemian.
Yeah, you know.
I mean, I just don't feel that way, because I think the mother then threw the trash can at the moving vehicle, and I think she would have done the same thing had he said Santa doesn't exist.
So, Lauren, is that how you would have made the child cry? You would have just told her Santa doesn't exist?
Absolutely, and then I would have said Jesus doesn't love you.
So you want to know what I would do?
Okay.
Because looking around, it's in a park. I'm thinking the best thing would have been to just kick a soccer ball really hard and hit a kid in the face. And you can kind of say, hey, sorry, it was an accident. Oh. I didn't think your kid's face was going to get in the way.
Damn. But what if like it hit their hyoid and you killed them?
Well, that would suck. But they would probably cry unless they died instantly, right?
Well, that's,
I'd still
that's
get $5,000.
Now
well, but I would still get the $5,000, and then I could pay legal bills after I finish the 13th.
Yeah, because you're just like, I see a soccer ball, it was an ex-soccer star, and I had to kick it.
Right? I mean,
okay, I feel you.
Then you're like, sorry, it was an accident, I didn't think it was going to hit him. But if, like, you know, you see a guy creeping down next to a little kid, and you're like, oh, what are you doing?
No, you're right.
Unless he's tying their shoe or something.
I feel you, that's much better. Santa, or just soccer ball to the keppy, you know.
So George, how would you make the kid cry?
I don't know. I probably would get a very 12-year-old rapey on her.
You just went straight bad touch?
Yeah, I would go bad touch. Yeah.
Oh my god, I'm not laughing.
You are totally laughing.
It's horrible. I'm looking at a funny picture.
Congratulations, Lauren. You're going to hell with us.
I'm driving the fucking bus. Okay.
That might be true.
And then afterwards, this mother, okay, worst case scenario, right? You're a mom.
She Hulk smashed his fucking car.
Yeah, so she smashes the car. Tara flips out, of course, because she's Tara.
And she goes, fuck you, motherfucking bitch. I'm like, dude, what's the...
So then the mom takes the kid to make up a sketch? Like, really? Because I feel like if my kid came up to me and was like, this man said I was adopted and that you didn't love me, I'd be like, what the fuck? And I'd be like, baby, we love you. It's okay. He's just some fucking... And I'd be like, hey, honey, isn't that weird that somebody said that? Like, what the fuck? I wouldn't take her to the fucking police department and make a sketch.
You take her to get ice cream.
And not only that, but your daughter has officially seen you be a fucking crazy person smashing a trash can into a truck.
Right, and that's enough. I would be like, see how much mommy loves you. Like, what do you want in your blizzard?
Blizzard.
Reese's Pieces.
Keep bar all the way.
Did you guys, to really non sequitur, did you guys ever remember, do you guys remember that Dairy Queen had a Nerds Blizzard at one point?
I do.
Yes.
And it was the fucking nastiest thing.
Well, I was never like a nerd, because I used to go to Pizza Slut with my dad all the time. And they had
Pizza Hut. Okay, follow along quickly.
Dude, I didn't know if that was a New York thing. Like, it's next to every strip club. Wait, it's Pizza Slut.
It's Pizza Slut, Papa Schlong's, Dom and Ho's, Toxic Hell.
Okay, you've got these all handled.
Yeah,
notice
from Ohio,
how there's no insulting name for Little Caesars, because Little Caesars is on point.
Oh, I don't know, dude. Little Caesars is fucking disgusting.
I do have a good story, though. My dad saved his crazy bread for so long and then, like, ate it, and his cap broke on his tooth.
I thought you said his cat broke.
I heard the same thing. I'm like, he ate crazy bread and then his cat just died, or what?
Not like doing a her sex moment with the cat. His cap broke from eating old crazy bread.
That's good. That's good. And then he cured cancer with that same crazy bread.
Oh, God, no. He had cancer. He's okay now. I just wanted to
make you feel bad. Are you fucking kidding me?
I just wanted to make you... No, he really did have cancer, but I did want to make you feel bad.
Good. Well, I apologize.
Is that better grammatically? I don't know.
Yeah.
So, the other thing, the ostrich. What? That kind of came and went.
Oh, shit. The ostrich. Yeah. Oh, okay. So...
I am.
Because I have a list of the different sins and what they were, but the ostrich is so outland. Okay, some.
But the ostrich wasn't his sin. That was somebody else's. No.
Wait. Okay.
Okay. So the biggest
ostrich.
The biggest thing about this entire movie.
We had two movies going on. Ron Perlman was in a movie. Our loser hero was in a movie.
Yeah, we haven't even. We have not introduced Ron Perlman in this movie.
So the biggest thing about this movie.
This is when. The ostrich moment is the Ron Perlman.
Yeah.
Okay, so the biggest thing about this movie is that the main character is essentially a giant pussy loser and he's gutless. and they make a point of saying that he. At some point, they make a point of saying that all of these challenges are to try and toughen him up and make him more assertive and more confident and stuff like that. But, and I can understand some of them. It's like, you know, you stand up to people. Like, there's a point where he talks his way out.
And you make a child cry. It's confidence building.
Well, I mean, you talk your way out of being arrested. You know, that's something that you have to have a lot of balls to do.
Okay.
But this one where you ask the task we're speaking of, they say is follow the unseasonably dressed homeless man. and then they flash forward to the police station where the homeless man is, I'm guessing, naked, wrapped in a blanket. And some guy says, yeah, he came in saying a guy offered him an ostrich for his clothes and cart.
So
they leave the ostrich in on a leash.
Like, where the fuck did he get the ostrich?
And not to be an asshole, I'm not sure that was an ostrich. I'm pretty sure that was a fucking emu.
Dude, my dad got his ass kicked by an emu one time, and it was amazing.
Are we led to believe that he just acquired the ostrich?
You don't fucking know, because exactly. They...
Like, where the fuck... Like, was there an ostrich... I mean, they're in, like, California, no? Like...
I don't remember where they were, but there was zero reference to an ostrich.
Where does one acquire an ostrich?
Right, and I'm sorry, like, to me, I just was like, oh, fucking... Like, are you kidding? And I knew it was going to come and go. And I was like, it should have just been a chicken. Like, a chicken makes sense. A chicken is believable, but an ostrich, like, you're really...
A little out there, buddy.
It's out there. And chickens, more, I'm sorry, chickens are just funnier to me. Ostriches aren't funny.
More importantly, a chicken is a little less conspicuous. Correct. And it's a little more portable than a fucking emu.
Like, you can put a suit on a chicken and a little...
My question, so then my actual question was the challenge to give the homeless guy an ostrich, or was it just to trade something for
his clothes? I assume it was to get his clothes and his cart, because the next challenge was the cup of coffee challenge.
Fine, but the challenges don't make sense. Like, it went from eating, the challenges start at, like, killing. And that, to me, was, like, really interesting, right? You're killing, then you're devouring. And I was like, okay, like, this is going to get real, real fast. And then the ostrich, like, fucking come on, man.
See, I didn't think that the first task was more about killing. I thought it was more about his willingness to follow direction.
Oh, which was kind of weird. Yes, you're right.
But that was weird, because the whole point was to teach him not to be a giant fucking twat. And exactly.
Yeah, so no, you were right, but yeah, it's like it's not helping his case. It's like, yes,
as if a homeless person wouldn't accept something less than an ostrich for his clothes. Like, why go to ostrich?
You could sell an ostrich for $100.
It would be more interesting if they were like, give me your kidney and I'll give you a new suit.
Ouch.
Give me your kidney and I'll give you an ostrich.
God.
So, okay, this movie has tons of plot holes and you know, like, there's faults in the writing. But I think altogether it was really fun. And it definitely escalates, you know, getting a homeless guy's clothes. The coffee thing we were talking about, he has to transport a corpse.
Right.
To, but he doesn't know that. A la Weekend at Bernie's, by the way.
Yeah, I know, totally. And I worked with Catherine Mary Stewart, by the way. She's a Yes, she's in LA right now, and I'm looking forward to working with her again. So excellent. a little hi, Catherine. She'll never
feel
listen
free to
this.
Tell her to come on our show.
But yeah, so the corpse bit was really, I mean, I think it was a treat for all of us, wasn't it?
It was.
That was a great, that was great, because, you know, the challenge was to take, I forget what his name is, but take the guy to get a cup of coffee. Like, that was,
that he's got to sit down and have a cup of coffee in front of him by 4 o'clock.
Right. And so you're thinking, oh, simple, no big deal. Once we've got past the ostrich, anything else is super duper easy. But it ends up being this guy who's committed suicide. He's got to get him inside of this diner by 4 o'clock and a coffee.
But I mean, come on, with the eyes, like,
yeah, that was.
I mean, really, we all know you can shut the eyelids, but no, he's like, you know, Miley Cyrus, white out tongue, and just like bug eyed. Sure, that's great. Table.
He puts him in like a wheelbarrow?
No, I think he put him in the shopping cart that he got from the homeless person.
Was it a shopping cart? Because it almost looked like it was made of wood.
See, if he would have had a wheelchair, it would have been smooth sailing. Because you just put a blanket over his lap, put him in a wheelchair.
I'm sure Rain Man has a wheelchair somewhere in his fucking room.
Rain Man could walk. He was just a little slow. Like, why would he have a fucking wheelchair?
His legs weren't handicapped. Since we're already talking about the stereotypical Rain Man, I'm sure he's got a fucking wheelchair.
The original Rain Man walked just fine. He just knew when people farted, and he could count fucking toothpicks.
Smell, I mean, he's got to smell like not only, you know, rotting flesh, piss and shit.
Yeah.
And he rolls up in there, and the waitress is, you know, at the end, she's just like, you know,
who's your buddy? It's kind of cute.
Yeah, what's going on? What do you know? We're off the freeway. We get a lot of strays in.
I did appreciate that when he was trying to pull him out of the bathtub, the corpse, that they were showing that rigor mortis had set in and his like joints were all cracking and like the you could hear the ligaments stretching and whatnot.
Oh yeah, that was a cool little touch. On this, like, although it was very good sound, it also they went a little overboard with many of the moments. I love that shit, but it was even like to the point where I'm like, oh, it's nice to be subtle, you know? And like at the end, there was also a moment that I won't speak of for spoilers, but there was a gore moment that the sound was really nice, but it continued on.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah, it's fantastic.
I think it's done. I think that happened. You can cut that.
Yeah, we can finish it.
There actually was a nice little bit of gore in this movie.
When it happened, it's very nice. Oh, and can we say, so after he does the corpse bit and he slams the cop's cup of coffee and all of a sudden he knows all about cops and legislation.
Yeah, how the fuck does he know all these penal codes?
Yeah, he's like, do you want to commit a 455 offense with the blah, 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 blah. I was like, what?
Yeah, he sells health insurance and can't even, you know, and he can't even keep his brother taken care of without working for a health insurance company, but he knows all the code for police officers. And then he walks out and the tour bus. And there's this creepy clown-like figure with a mask on.
What?
And it's this whole moment where he's like, man, I don't know if I want to go this far. And I'm like,
and then he totally
you just
does.
Drug a corpse into a cafe and put a cup of coffee in it and you dragged it. He smells like shit and piss and blood. And the clown driving the tour bus is a little drunk to you.
And why the fuck do you need an entire charter bus to transport one person?
Because it's more spooky.
Dude, you put a fucking rape van with no windows or even blacked out windows.
I'm like, Blumhouse had a tour bus. Well, should we?
Well, what you don't know is that's...
might as well use it.
That's where American Horror Story Season 4 is going to start with that fucking bus.
Oh, it's got that creepy-ass clown driving him to the freak show?
Yeah, to the freak show.
He's going to get to 1.21 gigawatts and go back in time to the 50s.
Gotta go back in time.
Thank you for saying gigawatts. That made me really happy.
Yeah, when he gets on the bus and the driver just doesn't look at him, nothing, closes the door... And
so the driver was dressed like a fucking like Mardi Gras.
Like a marionette.
It was like he missed the bus to Eyes Wide Shut a couple years ago. Driving around looking.
You know, then he's lucky because I really wouldn't want to be in an orgy with Tom Cruise. So, no,
it was Tom Cruise.
His silly midline.
But he's trapped in the closet.
Oh.
Won't come out of the closet.
Okay, yeah. That's awesome.
So after the bus scene.
Was the amputation, and we know.
Yeah, right after
that. Already talked about the amputation.
Yep. Do we wanna talk about the rehearsal dinner? Because I think that was kind of a cool scene.
Yeah, there was a rehearsal dinner, and that's what was so weird to me. So all these crates, so he drags a corpse, he amputates a guy, he goes and sees his high school bully who fucked with his brother, and there's all this shit, and it's building up, and it's building up, and then it's like, your next mission is to fuck up your wedding rehearsal dinner. I'm like, doesn't that just happen in general when you have a rehearsal dinner? I don't...
Yeah, right?
It was very odd to me that moment happened.
And the challenge right before that, he didn't even get notified of challenge 9, but after he took the guy who he amputated to the hospital, he sees his brother being a dick to one of the receptionists, and he just knocks him out with a chair, and suddenly his phone is like, okay, that's cool, that was a challenge that we didn't even tell you about.
He doesn't necessarily hear it, but he does say, you were a challenge.
Well, no, because he hits him in the face with a chair,
he goes, take a seat. And then
it wasn't that Stallone. It was I'll tell you what happened to your brother, let me grab a seat. Right. But I wish he would have said take a seat, because if he would have flexed after that, that would have been fucking awesome.
He did say take a seat.
Oh, maybe he did.
He did, and then he slams the chair into his face. He's like, oh, walking, and he's like, you know what? You're here, blah, blah, blah. You need to take a seat. And then takes the chair and wham over his head.
And then his phone chimes like the deposit has come through, and he looks at his phone and he goes, hey, you were a challenge.
Oh, but it's like, that,
what
right.
the fuck
you're
is totally the challenge? Right. To just hit a prick with a chair?
Right, exactly. It's like, I could have done that after the fly.
Yeah, and then he goes to the rehearsal dinner. And
so I think that the sort of the point behind the rehearsal dinner part, where the challenge is to destroy 75% of the dishware and
piss flowers.
X amount of centerpieces have to be messed up, and you have to piss on whatnot.
There's piss involved. That was.
I think
don't forget the piss.
I can't forget about the piss.
I would love to see a woman in this. You've got to piss. It's like, well, do I have to take my pantyhose off? Like, can
no.
You guys have it very easy. If we wanted to desecrate some flowers with piss, like, it's a moment. It's a moment.
You could go through the pantyhose, I guess. It doesn't have to be.
Well, and
a
they
moment.
Sell those. They sell those camping urinals for women too. Have you seen those?
Stand
well,
up
then
and
you
pee?
Have, you have to dump it and rinse it.
No. It's actually I almost bought these for my wife last time we went camping because she was pregnant at the time, and I was like, well, she's got to find a place.
And you thought that would really that. Would...
No. Get that. Okay. Let me explain. Mm-hmm. They're actually like a little
you
like
plan
disposable.
On continue, you plan on. Keeping this marriage and this.
Oh, dude, my wife loves me. Thank you very much. She's in for the long haul.
Who wouldn't want to stand up to
pee anyway?
So you're
saying that she's
anyway.
Hooked up to this contraption right now as we speak?
Maybe. No, it's basically I forget what they call them, but it's basically this little funnel sort of deal, so that women can pee standing up.
Yes, it's. It actually has a really funny name.
So you see, okay, then I'm not a total asshole here.
But I also need you to.
Oh, you're looking it up. Yeah, I can hear the keystrokes.
Yeah, because the name of it is pretty amazing.
It's like Little Miss Pee-Pee or some shit like that.
It really is. It's a female lady. She can wee.
She can wee.
Wee.
That sounds like a martial artist.
So there's a She Can Wee and there's Go Girl.
There, that's the one. It's the Go Girl. That's the one that I was talking about.
That sounds like the one that they sell in Oakland. Go Girl.
Well, dude, so it's like, you know.
Is
you
on Oprah?
Yeah. You know, Oprah might sell the Go Girl rather than the She Can Wee.
Actually, Go Girl is Oprah.
Oh, wow.
Get out. No, it's not.
Yeah, it's just she's there. She just cups her hands together and.
Oh God!
Wait, is she like kneeling down and cupping her hands together like a chalice, like it's a waterfall?
How else would she? I don't really understand the question. Of course.
How else would she be doing it?
So you can stand up and it's urine disposal. You're not just.
And she says, "You're peeing.
You're peeing and you're peeing and you're peeing."
Peas.
Okay. Peace.
You get a You Go Girl. You get a You Go Girl. You get a You Go Girl. Oh. Everybody gets You Go Girls.
Oh my God. Okay. All right. Let's move on. Come on. Because I actually have to pee and I don't have a You Go Girl. And I'm actually at a date's house right now and I could just.
Oh, hey, kid. Let's get him on. See how.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's embarrass him.
He's a writer. Do you want. He's actually
yes,
a writer.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, if he's saying no, yeah. no, no, that means yes.
The more
yes,
he
yes.
says
yes.
no,
right?
The, yeah, no.
Yes.
Did he see the movie?
No, but he has my notes.
Oh,
get
him on.
Let's get him to read your notes.
He can take over. He's going to lead my notes for your discussion.
Why don't you go to the restroom?
Yeah.
And we'll talk to him.
He can do his best Lauren impression while you're in the restroom.
His name is Neil Turrets, and he's a great writer, so he's coming over right now.
Fantastic.
Neil Turrets.
I
hope he has Tourette's.
No, he probably doesn't.
Tourette's. Oh,
okay. That's a joke I've never heard before.
Never, ever.
And, that's cool. All my shit's recycled
just,
anyways.
And Lauren just became single again.
Oh, shit. Hi, Neil. How are you?
How you doing, guys?
Good, good. So you didn't watch the movie, then?
No. It sounds ridiculously awesome, but apparently it's quite awful. So
it's one of those, you know, to be perfectly honest, I actually enjoyed it quite a bit.
I did too.
It's one of those things where you kind of once you get through it, you're like, oh, okay, that was good. I enjoyed it.
It could have been a lot worse.
That's true. You're a writer, she said. What do you write?
I don't...
Feel free to plug away because this is go to town, buddy.
I'm a journalist and a screenwriter. I made a movie many, many years ago called Two Ninas with Ron Livingston and Amanda Peet. I'm not involved in the horror world at all. That's something.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's a little weird for me because I've just been kind of listening to this and been very happy to just listen. And then I'm shoved in my hands.
You gotta take one for the team, everyone.
Yeah. That's something you gotta get used to if you want to have women in your life.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
I'm pretty sure he's probably used to it, dude. Come on.
So you could get back at her by telling us something embarrassing that you've noticed about Lauren.
How dumb do you think I am?
Yeah, really. Come on, dude. Yeah.
Hey, you can't blame me for trying.
Whose loyalty do you think I have?
Yeah, he doesn't give a fuck about the Who Goes There podcast. Come on.
No, I've got a girl in my apartment. I'm not gonna.
So we're taking time away from your date night. I actually feel really bad about that.
I'm supposed to move. Well, you know what? It's fine. Hold on a second. What was that? Oh, notes. Yes, move on with the notes. They're right here. You want me to talk about the notes that are right here?
Yes.
Where'd you leave off?
10.
Did you say the earmuffs thing yet?
No.
Oh. Where are we?
Oh, no.
Earmuffs. We're at earmuffs.
I don't know. Hold on. The communist anthem. The communist anthem.
Okay.
Best episode ever.
Don't get drunk while watching the flying circus and write a horror movie. That's actually a pretty good line.
So I read Lauren's notes, and there's no way that he's going to have any idea what's going on based on her notes.
I read them too. Yeah, there's no way.
I know the next line is, I just want Chris Maloney to be the only detective in film or TV, and I have no idea what that means. Other than she's right, but still.
Okay.
Agreed.
That detective was like the worst detective ever. He was such a fucking piece of shit. And I don't know if you guys, have you guys seen the Dahmer?
Hold on. Am I done?
you've been absolved.
Thank you. Good night.
Thank you.
Thanks for filling the minute and a half void.
Filling in rather poorly.
Okay.
No, it was great.
Any tits? Okay.
Any tits?
Any tits? Yeah.
There wasn't any tits in this movie.
I know, and I knew, and it really sucked because of our loser / hero. But so anyway, so that fucking detective. He was like the worst. So have either of you seen on Netflix the Dahmer Files?
You know, I started watching it and I got a little bit bored about
Bored?
Yeah.
You got bored?
I did a little bit.
And I'm the asshole because I haven't seen all the Indiana Jones movies.
I apologize.
I just don't know how you get bored. But anyway, so that
how you get pussy. That's how she's gonna finish that.
Okay. No, there's nothing funny about a pussy. It's any tits. Christ.
Okay. Well, sorry. Continue.
So, anyway, the detective was kind of a piece of shit to him. You know, obviously, our loser hero, when you sit down with him, is pretty innocent, and he was a jerk to him. And so I said that, you know, the detective that interrogated Dahmer was more friendly than this guy.
And at this point, this is when you find out that there's somebody else playing the game.
Oh yeah, right?
is that this point?
The whole time, it's actually been from pretty early on that you see evidence. But here specifically, the detective says you did this and you did this and you did this, and there's all these pictures of horror that we as the audience have never seen. Right. So we realize then for sure that this is happening on many levels, that this isn't just our loser hero. This is many other losers or heroes. Probably definitely correct. Not as big of a pussy as our loser hero. And then there's the list of him. So they have the character, the sketch.
Oh,
that was taken, God. And underneath it, there's like all these adjectives listed, and
it wanted for arson and child abuse and desecration of a corpse and mayhem.
And I was like, mayhem? Yeah, really? This guy mayhem? Like,
I'd like to be suspected of mayhem. That would be excellent.
You know, you walk down the street with an ostrich, and there's a good chance there's gonna be some mayhem.
Well, and they're like desecration of a corpse. And to me, I'm like, he gave it a cup of coffee.
Yeah, he didn't desecrate it. No, he gave it a nice send off.
If I found out that, you know, God forbid, anyone in my family committed suicide, but that someone stole the body and took it to a cafe and put a cup of coffee in front of the body and that was it and left it, I'd be like, wow, like a guardian angel, you know?
The coffee's like a cure-all. He was trying to save him.
He was trying to give him that boost that he needed from that caffeine.
You should have given him that Red Bull.
A desecration, in my opinion, is, you know, you put a swastika on the corpse, or you...
Yeah, you draw a dick on his face.
Right, you like, you armpit fuck him.
The ultimate fucking disgrace, a dick on your face.
Swastika and dick on the face, and then, basically, you know...
A dick swastika.
A dick swastika.
Swastika?
That's a classic from the 90s, I feel like that was edited out of The Believer with Ryan Gosling.
Oh, wow.
Neil Torres is asking me, Jerry, are Nazi punks fuck off?
I've seen Nazi punks must die. Or wait, is it?
Surf Nazis must die.
Yeah.
Nazi punks.
It's a Dead Kennedy song.
Surf.
Oh, right.
Oh, wow. He's older.
Hey, there's nothing quote older about DK. All
right. No, you're right. You're right. You probably take Boniva too.
Wait, what?
Oh, wow.
What?
Oh God, I just got like a death stare.
She basically said you fucking eat yogurt like Jamie Lee Curtis.
Wait, so I got the hermaphrodite yogurt?
No, the fucking shitty bone yogurt. No, the shitty digestive tract yogurt.
There's nothing wrong with my bone.
Curtis.
Yeah.
She does Activia. Boniva.
Oh, it's Activia, not Boniva.
Sally.
Sally Fields.
Mrs. Doubtfire, right.
Yeah, Sally Fields does Boniva.
Wait, Robin Williams?
Okay. Let's a little decorum here.
Let's move on.
Please.
Okay, so we've got. I already said, you know, Ronnie Perlman is in two different films. I feel I like the one Ronnie with Ronnie better. The dog's name was Parsley. That was a moment for me.
That's a good note.
Very interesting scrapbook. That was an elaborate scrapbook for a guy who's been playing this game. I feel like these sins seem to come on rather quickly. People get these phone calls, a text after another text. It's like it's like an incessant ex-girlfriend.
And right, they said within 36 hours.
When did he get to do the scrapbook?
Apparently that guy has been so they got Friar Tuck from Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
Oh, so he's been doing this for a minute.
Yeah, for
quite a long time.
The opening credits had basically like one of those, true detective type, like this is who's connected to this kind of boards.
Mm-hmm.
And later you find out that this guy's been researching it and it started in Rome and all this shit. So it's been going on for a long time.
But you don't really pay attention because Ronnie P is just making those sexy faces.
Ronnie P.
I don't think I've ever heard anybody.
I'm going to call him Ronnie P from now on. That's it. That's all there is to it.
I don't think I've ever heard of anybody refer to Ron Perlman's face as a sexy face ever.
It's not that his face is sexy, but he's like trying to give you sexy eyes. I think that's the bit.
I thought that was his annoyed face. I was drinking during that whole time.
Well, it's like Tara. It's like Tara.
Exactly. Got
Ronnie P cannot stop giving you sexy
face. You got Ronnie P and you got Donnie Subs, you know? Like Donnie Subs can't stop giving you that, ooh, you want a mustache ride, even if he doesn't have a mustache. Donnie Subs is offering.
Oh my God, that's rad.
Oh my God.
All
right. we've just completely lost, but this is good.
This is good. We should wrap this up, man, because this is just getting like more. Boy, and more
Lauren's on a date night. I feel really.
Yeah, thanks for making us into giant assholes, Lauren.
No, I mean, I have to say, there's a fun house at the end. So, like, just when you think, you know, oh, what the hell, fuck this movie. No, there's a fun house. You just wait.
Yeah.
And they had that nice circus music as the ringtone.
And can we also just talk about, this isn't a spoiler at all, quite honestly, because if people love clothesline decapitations like I do, it's yes. never a spoiler. If you still hung in this far, there is a clothesline decapitation. Hang in there. It is worth it.
Yeah.
It's probably one of the best and most gory scenes in the entire movie.
Yeah, it's a really good scene.
Since who else? LL Cool J in that movie when he's like, you know, three egg omelets are bullshit. Two eggs make a perfect omelet, and he gets the, was that the shark movie, the Deep Blue, or
yeah, the one with Samuel L. Jackson.
Oh,
yeah,
the
yeah,
sharks yeah. don't swim backwards movie.
Yeah, where he goes, get these motherfucking sharks off this motherfucking submarine, and then
get these motherfucking eggs
gets
out of my motherfucking omelet.
Yeah, no, that's not true. None of that was true. Anywho, Lauren, before we get too far in your evening, I would just like to say thank you for coming on the show.
Yes, no, thank you for having me. And I also, I didn't find out our loser hero's name until the end, and it was Elliot.
Elliot.
And I found out, and that's in my notes. Who is Elliot? Is that our loser? And that was...
I was going to mention earlier, you look on IMDb and nobody has their name associated except for the most random people where it'll say like dog man or night nurse or a cafe waitress, but none of the actual characters had their movie name on their IMDb.
Wow.
It's the weirdest shit. Because okay. I was trying to look up his name. I was like, I have no idea who this guy's fucking
Maybe we're going to wake up tomorrow and this movie never happened.
Never existed. Well, anywho, let's do our out-introductions, if you will. Yep. This is Jorge with the Who Goes There podcast, signing off.
This is Matt, once again. And
Lauren, go ahead and dismiss yourself.
Lauren Ashley Carter of The Woman, Jugface, and recently Pod.
Yay, Pod.
And please have me back on for Sleepaway Camp.
We totally will.
You guys.
We definitely will.
And Neil Turitz.
Oh, yes. Let's not forget Neil.
Let's not forget Neil.
Quite possibly the most awkward of Who Goes There guests. You know what? He did a smashing job considering the circumstances.
Yes.
All right, everybody, and that's a good night to you.
Right,
I'm not gonna worry wrinkles in my brow. Nothing's ever gonna be all right, no how. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive.
The Who Goes There theme is performed by Amigo the Devil. To hear more of his music, go to amigothedevil.com and check out the Who Goes There podcast on whogoestherepodcast.com. Facebook.com/WhoGoesThereRPodcast. Follow us on Twitter @WhoGoesThereRPod and Instagram @WhoGoesThereRPodcast. And don't forget to subscribe on iTunes while you're at it. Leave a review. It really helps us out. Thank you.